Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, today is Thursday, May 26, 2022, and we are live on the Healing Hour. I am your host, Elisha Cooper, and our special guest today is the pastor of Living Water Church of Deliverance by Faith Incorporated in Florence, South Carolina, Dr. Bishop Jordan III, and Pastor Taylene Daly is with us on tonight, and I am excited. We are doing a face the issue segment, and we want to talk about marriage after divorce. Feel free to tune in at www.blogtalkradio.com/purposekingdom or listen via phone 319-527-6091. As always, if you have any questions or comments during the show, please press 1. Our scripture reading for tonight is John 8:32. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Before we go forward, I just want to take time out to extend our condolences, our prayers, and our thoughts to the parents who lost their children on this week in the school shooting. I know just the little bit of time, for those who already know my testimony, just a little bit of time, of not having my daughter with me and her being where she was, it was devastating for me. So for parents to lose their children, especially children who were only in third or fourth grade, I can only imagine what they're dealing with. So we want to say a prayer for them, and we want to also say a prayer for the show on tonight. So let us just pray. God, we thank you. We honor you. We thank you so much for your grace and your mercy and allowing us to see another day. Lord, we ask that you would forgive us, Lord God. Anything we committed before you, we ask that you would forgive us. God, we pray for those parents, those family members who have been affected by the murder and the mass shooting in Texas. Lord, we ask that you would heal their hearts, heal their minds, Lord, in the name of Jesus. God, we ask that you will be their comforter and their protector, their strength on this evening, Lord. We ask that you would give them everything they need to get through this such a devastating and traumatic time. God, we pray for our nation. God, we ask that you would just help heal the hearts of those who are doing such evil, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask that you would be with us tonight on this show. God, we are hitting a controversial topic, so Lord, we ask that you would be with us, that you would guide our words. In the name of Jesus, we thank you and we bless you. Amen. Pastor Toy, Bishop, Dr. Bishop Jordan III, thank you guys for joining me on tonight. I'm really excited to be with you two.
You are so welcome. I'm excited about being here this evening also.
Oh, well, you already know I'm excited.
Yeah, you like these topics. These topics is something different. The last time we were on the show and we did the Face the Issue, we were talking about how co-parenting, and we were talking about how the effect of our children when we put them in the middle of certain things. And I know that it pierced and it penetrated those that was with, and some of us as well who were on. But tonight we want to talk about marriage after divorce. Now, I was messing with Pastor Toy before we got on, and I told her that somebody told me that I'm going to hell if I ever get married again while my ex-husband is alive. And I found it really funny. I'm not going to say my response on the show, but which one of y'all wanna hit this first?
It doesn't matter to me.
But since you talk first, go ahead, go for it.
Okay, dope. First and foremost, one thing that that I would venture, and I don't want to say I'm not prepared because I know my mindset concerning this issue, but I wish I would have had more time to dig in as to, you know, pull actual scriptures in context to validate. But my question, first and foremost, becomes, is it really biblical not to remarry? And oftentimes, I know we look at this from the qualifications of a bishop, and I actually have this argument with a lot of old school bishops, if you will. Well, the Bible says that the bishop must be the husband of one wife. Now, looking at that from that particular scripture, you would, first playing devil's advocate, you would have to venture to ask the question, if the Bible, if the context of what it says is that the bishop is the husband of one wife, you would have to venture to say that a bishop that's not married can't be a bishop. If you're going to, instead of exegete the text, if you're going to eisegete the text, you have to say that an unmarried man can't be a bishop. But what was going on in that particular context was polygamy. But a lot
right.
of us don't look into stuff like that. So it was polygamy going on. They were biting off more than they can chew. So a decree was made that you had to be the bishop. The bishop had to be the husband of one wife at a time. And that's the normal basis because I've yet to find where concretely in Scripture it says that you can't remarry. Now, it's just my own personal belief system. This is me, no parabolic exegesis, none of that wonderful stuff. I believe in being happy. That's just me. And if, you know, if we're in a relationship and or we're in a marriage and our happiness isn't meeting, I mean, something has to happen. Either we have to go to counseling, we have to, you know, ultimately separate, divorce or whatever. But I'm just a firm believer in happiness being the number one priority. And I'm not going to take over the show, so I'm going to yield the floor at this time.
Again, I'm in agreement with Bishop. You got to show me the scripture that says that. See, we get caught up in interpreting the scripture to make it fit and mold it into our lifestyle. When the truth of the matter is the scripture, we are supposed to mold our lifestyle after the scripture. And I was thinking when we were talking earlier and I asked you, I said, well, what scripture did they tell you? Where in the Bible does it say you can't remarry? And you said it was in Matthew. So, you know me, I went looking for it. And you're right. It does say, I'm going to start at Matthew is chapter 5, the 31st verse. It's verse 31 and 32. And it's Jesus that's talking. And he says, it has been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced commits adultery. Okay. As Bishop said, when you look at it right there without digging into the content of what the people were doing at that time, then it does look like, oh my goodness, if you were ever married and you got a divorce, then you're going to burn and go to hell because you're going against God's word. However, you have to remember that during this time, women, number one, were not considered equal. We were considered property, considered a little higher than the slave. In the scripture, we were not even counted. For example, when they talk about Jesus feeding the 5,000, he fed well over 5,000. The problem is it was only 5,000 men, and that's all that was counted. When you talk about the 12 tribes of Israel or Jacob's 12 children, Jacob actually had 13 children, but that 13th child was a female, so she was not counted. So men were giving divorce because the woman said, no, I'm tired, I'm not coming in there tonight. They were getting divorced because the woman talked back. They were writing out. I mean, remember what happened with Esther. Esther became queen because the first queen of the king, when he called for her to come parade around in just her crown in front of his friends naked, wisdom facing God and common sense said, no, I'm not doing that. And he divorced her, had to put away somewhere. So in that essence of it, that's what he was talking about. If you look into the scripture, 1 Corinthians, I believe it's 1 Corinthians, I got to look it up. But Paul talked about if the unbeliever chooses to leave, and then let them leave, because in this case, God has called you from labor to rest. Like, we forget about that scripture. So, no, I don't believe, and like I said, I can't find no scripture that supports that you cannot remarry.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, Matthew 5 is the scripture that most people go to. It's in paraphrasing, they pretty much say if your spouse is still alive, that you don't have the right to remarry, because it says, but I say that a man who divorced his wife unless she has been unfaithful causes her to commit adultery. Most people don't see the part that talks about the unfaithfulness within the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
They just look at, you can't remarry if your spouse is still alive. Even, you know, when they talk about don't team up with the unbelievers, and how can two walk together except they be agreed? How can light walk with darkness, and all of these different things. And it, like you said, and I was actually looking for it while you were talking, when Paul talks about the unbeliever wants to walk away, it's like, let them walk away. And you've been given a reason to remarry. I know recently there was a lady who stayed in her marriage, and
mm-hmm.
they said it was God's will, you know, but her husband beat her to death. But because because of the scripture, you know, you can't get divorced, or, you know, she never left because she wanted to be in God's will. So how do we really, like, I guess it's Dr. Jordan, I'm sorry, this is kind of directed towards you. How do we take a topic like this and teach truth in it?
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
First and foremost, we would have to go back and look at, first and foremost, context. I love the fact of what Pastor said, and that goes to show that she's done her studying. Oftentimes, and I really hate to say this, and I know they're going to take my holiness card, that we get these notions from people who came up in old school churches. Let's just go ahead and expel the elephant out of the room. 97, I would say 90% of these churches were PAW. I know because I have PAW background. My grandmother was PAW most of her life. I came up, I'm 35, I'll be 36 in July. I know over 36 years she's been PAW. So the other 10% of this come from other apostolic churches, Cool JC, you know, Church of Our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what they were taught from people who didn't have the study tools that we have. You know, a lot of pastors back then couldn't even read. They had to go by unction of the Holy Ghost or somebody who could read, telling them what the Bible says, and they get revelation from God, even though it might have been wrong. This is why we have, you know, some older generation saying the letter killeth, but the spirit gives life, talking about going to church. Well, that's not what the scripture was saying. So you have to find this out for yourself, because at the end of the day, and I tell this to a lot of young preachers, when the lights in the church go out, when the doors lock after the smoke clears and the dust settles, them legs are going home with you. And what happened then, this is where marriage becomes, I think the younger generation are saying toxic. This is where it becomes toxic to you, because you're trying to stay in the will of God, but it's going to push you out of the will of God, because you're trying to live according to something that was never, I don't want to say meant for you to live to, but you're living up to a standard that you really can't live up to, if that makes sense. So you're, like she said, they were getting divorced because she didn't feel like it. They was getting, because she, excuse my realness, because she didn't want to bust it open, she got put away.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe that might have not been an issue back then, and I'm not justifying it, but it is an issue now. So where I'm trying to hold on, watch this, to what the church says. Oh, y'all got quiet just then. While I'm trying to hold on to the picture that I painted to the church that my marriage is wonderful and everything, now I'm tiptoeing out behind the scenes because she doesn't want to put out her, because he doesn't want to put out her, because I'm used to a certain lifestyle in the bedroom that you're not willing to do, or you don't want to cook and you don't want to clean, or, you know, you just as nasty at home as you are in the church. So, and like you said, there were some who wanted to stay, wanted to be in the will of God, and I'm not saying this for that particular person, but there's people right now in marriages trying to stay in the will of God, but it's causing them their life and that slow fall to hell, you're not on a quicker one. And it's just really because, you know, we're staying in marriages where we're physically beaten, spiritually beaten, emotionally beaten, whatever other kind of beating you can get, and we're trying to stay in it for the sake of somebody else, how somebody else feels. And that's why I said my mentality is based on your happiness, because you can be a provider, you can be a hard worker, you can be married to a man and you a stay-at-home wife, you taking care of the kids and all of this, and he cutting your tail. So is it really worth it? So now you got to look at, why am I here? Yeah, you love him, but he's treating you like a punching bag. You love him, but he's tiptoeing out of, you know, leaving out of the marriage, and he's going to sleep with somebody else. Now he comes home and sleeps with you. Now you getting whatever he's getting out in the street. And we're not even going to talk about soul ties, because I think tonight really needs to be more so practical than spiritual, if that makes sense. And I know I'm a bishop and apostle in the Lord's church, but at the same time, we're trying to be so spiritually minded that we're no earthly good.
You better tell it.
So we now have clergy, and this ain't even talking about the regular people. We're not talking about the people in the pew. We got people in the pulpit who have marriages that we have the weight, and we have this heaviness on us to betray a godly marriage to people who are suffering in the streets and coming to the church looking for answers, and we're in the pew preaching the gospel when we ain't got the answer for ourselves. So basically what we're doing is we're preaching a lie.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to say, then I'm going to move out the way. How many preachers do you really know are, one, portraying a godly marriage, or two, in a godly marriage? Because if you think about it, most pastors, their marriage never comes to the carpet. You see the first lady, if the pastor's a man, you see the quote-unquote, because I hate this term, you see the first lady sitting there, you see her with her arms folded, and I'd say about maybe 8 out of 10 pastor wives have a nasty attitude. We'll deal with that in another segment. But most of them have a nasty attitude. Most of them don't want to be there. Most of them don't want to do nothing. They sit there while everybody else in the church does the cleaning and does the participating, and then when it's pastor anniversary time, they reap the benefits. If the pastor's a woman, about a good 9.5 out of 10, the husband's not even there. Oh, y'all still quiet. The only time he shows up when he thinks it's somebody after his wife or when anniversary time rolls around.
Can we stay there for a little bit? Because I think this is, and I'm not trying to take it to a spiritual point, but I want to stay right there for a minute because it is so true in most cases, what you're saying in regards to the first lady or the pastor's wife or the leading lady or, you know, the elect lady, whatever word, you know, whatever word they want to use. You know, they have a nasty attitude. They have, you know, their husband is preaching his lungs out and, you know, she's sitting there with a face frowned up. You know, or she's not paying attention. She's on her phone. She looking at her nails or whatever it is, or, you know, somebody say something to her. She's nasty. She come in dressed any kind of way. And then, you know, her to do something. She mad because he asked her to do something. But anniversary roll around, church anniversary roll around, pastor's anniversary roll around. Now she want the full suit with the hat and the nice shoes and you know, she want to be in the picture on the flyer and all of these other different things. And the whole time you looking at her like, ma'am, you ain't did nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you was asked to teach the little kids.
Can I be honest?
I used to teach little kids Sunday school and you don't want to be bothered with nobody.
Can I be honest?
Mm-hmm.
It's a twofold part. First, I'm going to stay right where you are, Elder, and then I want to revisit the part that Bishop was talking about because that part was so funny to me, so funny to me, and I'm going to explain why in a second. But first, for right where you at, that's not really the first lady, elect lady, shepherd lady, whoever title we done gave her for whatever reason we done chose she had to have a title. That's our fault. Because, see, forget is the anointing is on whoever in that pulpit. But we assume that it's on whoever they got married to. So then we give them all these titles that in our minds come with this status of responsibility, and then we'd be like, yo, well, why are you not stepping up to the point? Because God ain't never tell y'all she was anointed. It's almost like, and somebody going to get mad when I say this, but I don't care, God telling me to say it. It's almost like Mary, the mother of Jesus in the Roman Catholic Church, you know, don't take me wrong. She gets her respect and her due, for God chose her out of all of women to be the mother, to plant his seed, his... No disrespect, but it was done. I don't have to go to her and pray to her, to ask her, to ask Jesus to go to God. She didn't die for me, he did. Same thing with these first ladies or first husbands or whatever it would be. That anointing is on that man or woman of God that's shepherding that particular flock. So we got to, one, stop giving these people these titles and these accolades that, one, they don't deserve and didn't ask for. especially if they got married before the man or the woman of God became a man or a woman of God. If y'all understand, like, now.
Amen.
Pastor Zoe. Me has gotten disconnected. It's just so interesting. Dr. Jordan, I'm so sorry. We on a radio show. I got to be. But it is so weird because, you know, she was saying like not to give the lace to the person, but at the same time, you know, they kind of come as a package deal.
And it's a shared ministry. And that's one thing. I was taught that by my bishop, and he believes it. And then when you go into Greek and the Hebrew and all of that, presbyter, presbytera, the wife of you know, whatever. My thing is, it's always been a shared ministry because, remember, if you want to, I can probably push this issue, you know, Adam and Eve, one, so shall, for this cause, so shall a man leave his mother and father and cleave, and they one flesh and all that wonderful stuff. But they were a shared ministry. God gave Adam a job, and then Adam needed help. He gave Adam a wife, you know, the whole woman thing. And this is my thing. I believe that in this day and age that we have to be careful who we're marrying. And this was said to me, and I don't want to, because I don't know how people are going to take it, so I'm going to be very careful, and I'm not going to call his name. I was told this a while ago, as some of you listening might know, that I'm going through a divorce, and it was told to me that you have to marry, that love is not enough anymore. And you have to marry for purpose as well as love. So where is your purpose going? Where is what God called you to? Where is that taking you? And does this person fit that category? Love is wonderful. Love is wonderful, my brother just texted. Love is wonderful. It's great. But are you conducive? God, I hear you in my good ear. Are you conducive for where he's taking you? Because if you're not, oh, God, how can I say this? Can I be transparent for just a quick second? In other words, if you're not conducive to where he's taking me, one, you're just going to be a lay. And that's the best way I can put that. Number two, you're going to be a hindrance. And I'm not even going to bring up David. When David got the Ark of the Covenant back, David was so happy that he danced out of his clothes. But watch this. The one person that was connected to him, come here, what's her name, Micah or Michelle, whichever one her name was, she sat there in this. Now, this is the person we got pillow talk. This is the person you see me at my lowest. You see me when the church people, they talking about church hurt, but nobody says nothing about the sheep bite. So when I done paid your bill and I done paid your phone bill and your car note and I done buried your mom and I done buried your best friend, didn't even charge you nothing, didn't even get a chicken dinner, after I done did all of this and you talked about me and won't show up to church, this person that I'm married to got to see me at my lowest point. Y'all see me as Superman, but this person that I'm married to got to see me as Clark Kent. And honestly, truthfully, this is the reason that some of these clergy spouses are disgruntled. God, y'all, that's a topic for a whole other day. Some of them actually have a reason to act the way that they do. Because can I talk on behalf of the women? My husband, you done talked about my husband like a dog and used up everything that we had. We took food out of our freezer to bring to your house for you and your kids. So now you done turned your back on him when you got your taxes. You didn't bring none of that money to the church. Our life got cut off so you can have life. And then you come here when you want to like it's a revolving door, but I got to come in here and sit on the front row and act like I like you.
Oh, shoot. So we're looking at all of this, and then watch this. I can't give a specific number because I haven't done the research, but just from preachers that I know who are dealing with this, it's a
high number in the church that spouses are tired of dealing with the church. I did not say they're tired of God. They're tired of the politics. They're tired of the semantics. They're tired of coming in fake and leaving out faker. They're tired of doing all of this stuff, and it feels like God's not in it.
Yep.
So my question to those that are – go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was going to say, which takes me back to the anointing ain't on them spouses. Y'all better be careful what y'all doing to them pastors.
And I was just about to say, I was just about to say that, because there is a stigma in the church. God, I can't be real as I want to, but for preachers, y'all know it's a stigma. And I don't know why everybody's running to pastors, running to bishops, running to apostles. Y'all out here marrying these Negroes, let me say it that way. Y'all out here marrying these people, and they ain't got two pennies to rub together. You think you about to be sitting on the front row in the pretty hats and the expensive person, the Louis Vuitton, the Gucci, the Michael Kors and all of that, and he taking the house money to pay for the church, the fund of facade that he ain't even got. Okay, I'm sorry. Let me slow down. So you thinking you biting off more than you can chew. Because you're chasing after a dream that's actually going to end up to be a nightmare.
Yep.
That's true.
Oh, I know it is. I'm preaching better than you responded. So what happens is you have to sit down and you have to make sure that this is who God called you to. Now watch this. I'm going to say this and then I'm yielding the floor. The Bible says that he that finds a wife finds a good thing. That's the text, right? My question becomes, are you hidden?
Oh, Lord.
Because, see, when you – God, don't say that. God, I gotta preach this in living water.
When you sit here
throwing your body on Facebook, that's not you being hidden. So then you get mad when men come in your inbox asking for what you portraying. Facebook talking about what you just did with the last dude. You having conversations with these men that you just had with the last dude. God, come here, Jordan, and be transparent. So when you telling me how you busted open with the last dude, don't come to me as Mother Teresa because I'm a preacher. Oh, y'all not talking to me in Presbyterian church. And you wondering why. He's coming to you with God, with his pants down, rather than showing you his heart, because you're not hidden.
Wow.
I'm done.
Wow. That's just a wow. I mean, we're a little off topic.
He dropped the mic with it.
Wow. I mean, you got a point because, you know, people would say, well, it's my body. I could do what I want. I could show what I want. And this is married and, you know, married and single who put everything on social media and wonder why things go the way they go, why people are in their inbox, why their husband or their wife have no respect for them or don't want them, let's be real, or don't want them around.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's another thing. Sometimes it's, I don't want you around. Matter of fact, all right, we're going to fraud for the church, giving honor to my husband or giving honor to my wife, and then as soon as we leave, don't touch me. You know, yeah, it's just so much. I remember when I was married, and I know I have to be very careful with what I say because I never know who's listening. But I remember when I got married and, you know, my ex-husband was a preacher, and I remember us arguing. I was the wife, let's be real, I was the wife that when they would call him up to preach, I would walk out. Because I didn't want to hear it. There was nothing he could preach to me because I lived with him at home.
Mm-hmm.
And who he was at home and who he was at church was two different people.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the little things that would transpire. And I remember, you know, I asked the pastor if we could do marriage counseling. I remember him saying, I will never get with anywhere with you two because you're always at a brick wall. All I do with you is hit a brick wall. And I was just like, you know what, enough is enough. I can't do this. Like, I can't. You know, and it was a lot of facade. It was, oh, we're going to dinner. Oh, y'all don't have to worry about that. I got the bill, but our lights is off. Oh no, I'll take care of this bill. First of all, you ain't built like that to take care of nobody, full table, 10 people at a table bill, and the water department is at the house the next day shutting off the water, or you getting an eviction notice or a letter to a letter to vacate and all of these different things, and then you want to go to church on Sunday, you want to hook a Messiah, you want to shout, and you know, you want to carry on, but you ain't taking care of home.
Mm.
You know, so for me, I mean, I've been divorced for 14 years. 15 years. I'm doing the math on my finger. So I can start to lose count because it don't matter. But I say this to say, you know, I literally found out after I got a divorce that I could have got an annulment time, but because I got married under false pretenses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the image or the things that were said, the you know, the conversations that we had about certain things, I can't put it out there, but certain things, come to find out, none of it was true. Come to find out, none of it was true. So for me to get remarried, to me, I have just cause.
To be honest, anyone who is legally divorced, if they've gotten legally divorced, in the eyes of the law, have just cause to be able to remarry.
Mm-hmm.
Scripturally speaking, there is no scripture that you cannot legally and under the eyes of God be remarried if you were divorced. Again, the scripture that they go to, you have to look at why they went there. And I mean, even if you look at the history of this country, women had to fight for the right to vote.
Mm-hmm.
We're still fighting for equality in so many different areas and arenas across life.
Mm-hmm.
So even now, if a man rapes a woman, and I don't mean a brutal rape, I mean just somehow or another he rapes a woman, that violation that woman is going to take years to get through, that man is going to serve 3 to 5 years in prison because it's not considered that serious of a crime.
Mm-hmm.
For him to get real time, he would have had to have physically in some way attacked her in
mm-hmm.
order to get real time. Or had done it to a multiple number of females. And then the time to add up for each case that he did it. But it's still not considered a serious crime. So we're still not really considered equals. I'm saying that to say
that nowhere in God's word does it tell us that we, male or female, is supposed to be beat down upon physically, mentally, emotionally, or spiritually. And again, I'm going to say this again, because to me it's like a female that marries a police officer. You knew you were marrying a police officer if when you met him or her and decided to get married, they were already wearing that blue uniform. So why are you now complaining about, oh, I'm worried about your safety, and I'm worried about this, and you're never at home, and you're never this, and you're never... You knew you were marrying a police officer. If you married a minister, a bishop, especially... You got your ministers, but especially a pastor, a bishop, an apostle, somebody that's over multiple situations. If you knew who they were when you married them and you fell in love with the glam and the glitter of it, that's your fault. You should have talked to some other bishop wives and stuff like that to find out what it was really like and about.
That's good teaching.
But if they became that after y'all got married, then I can understand some of the difficulty, and the church has to remember, although the ministry in itself is for that couple and that support, that anointing is on whoever is in that pulpit. That spouse ain't that same anointing. Yeah, they're supposed to help and support and keep them going and pushing. But like Bishop said, see, I'm sorry, I'm a fighter. Couldn't be married to a pastor. Because y'all talking about, oh, and then they sitting there and you want them to smile at you. See, I was taught by my grandfather, who was Pastor Elder, the late Elder David E. Bullock. He taught me that God is omnipresent. He everywhere. Every step I take, I'm walking through and in God. So he in that sanctuary just like he out that sanctuary. So no matter where I smack you at, I'm still going to have to, God's still going to deal with me for smacking you. Matter of fact, if you read the scripture, the word of God says, as a man thinketh, so is he. So I'm already in trouble for the thought about smacking you. So if you messing with my husband, and I ain't talking about on some sneaky way, I'm talking about you messing with my husband, and I'm not, and I wasn't anointed, you know, y'all should really bless God that I'm saved. But the old me, the beast me, yeah, I didn't care if we was in the church. You did what to who? Oh, yeah, I got a testimony this morning. But bless God, they sitting there and they holding it. And then you got, like Elder was saying, the beatdown took place, and now you want me to come in here and shout. Because he up there faking. Or she up there faking, because men ain't the only ones that be abusive. Women can be abusive too. So now they up there fake shouting and testifying about how lovely everything is, but about 20 minutes before y'all walked in the door, they either physically, mentally, emotionally, or spiritually beat you down into a corner. And everybody looking at you like you crazy because you can't fake it.
Oh yeah, I wasn't a faker. I didn't know how to. I didn't know how to fake that. Even after, can I be real? Like, can we just be real today? Transparency. I remember after me and my ex-husband, after we, you know, separated and everything like that. And mind you, you know, we wasn't really active. Yeah, y'all know what I mean by that. And oh my Lord. And I remember, so anybody who ever been divorced or in that process, what can stunt your divorce or make your time start over is by having sex. So I remember getting that question, like, can we what? So you wanna try to mess this up? You ain't even asked that when we was married.
Mm-hmm.
No, sir. I won't be starting this time over. That was the best $300 I ever spent in my life. But anyway, going back to the topic, I just actually had this scripture. I'm seeing if I can find it again, where it says if a woman, somebody say something while I try to find this scripture. Oh, a woman is bound to her husband as long as he lives. But if her husband dies, she is free to marry anyone she wishes, but he must belong to the Lord. That is another scripture that they use as a thing of you can't get married again as long as your, you know, as your spouse, long as your spouse is alive.
Where were you from?
I'm sorry, that was First Corinthians 7:39.
Can I say something real quick? And it still goes back to what I said in the beginning, your happiness. And I'm saying this, and I'm not saying this to belittle anybody. And the ones I'm getting ready to talk about, I love with my, as a matter of fact, I owe my salvation to. I watched my grandmother. Like I said, she was PAW. Her and my grandfather ended up divorcing. And I watched my grandmother, and I'm not going to say she wasn't happy, because you know the old saying, God, I'm looking at her picture now, and she giving me that look. But you know the old saying, as long as I got Jesus, Jesus is my husband. Jesus holds me at night. No, he doesn't. Let's be real. We're not back in the 60s and the 70s. Jesus doesn't hold you. It's nice to have a pair of legs in the bed with you. But I watched her live unmarried because she was taught that as long as her husband was alive, that she couldn't be remarried. By the time my grandfather, which remarried, but by the time my grandfather died, you know, my grandmother was content. Like, you know, she lived a good couple of years after my grandfather died, but, you know, she's getting ready to make her, she's getting her house in order and all of this. My mother was divorced prior to me coming about. She was married to my sister's dad. Got a divorce, never remarried. And for those of us that are willing to be real, you know, they say that absence make the heart grow fonder. That's a lie. In this particular instance, it's a lie. Absence make you disgruntled.
You got talent.
So the absence of not only companionship, but the extracurricular activity makes us disgruntled. So now you have Lord Jesus, and anointing for those of us that are preaching and operating in ministry, preaching, pastoring, deacons, whatever, you know that anointing tears you up. Fire, let's go that route. So now you have to juggle this. Is this, and I'm not saying the job that you're doing for God, but is it really worth it for you to hold on to a stigma or a lie because you too lazy to search out scriptures for yourself?
Can I go one deeper than just search out the scripture, but then pray for God to give you the interpretation and understanding of it?
Right.
See, the problem is so many of us read the scripture and then we just stop. Oh, I read this chapter. I read the whole Bible. I read the whole thing. I can tell you exactly what it says. But can you tell somebody how to truthfully and rightfully apply it to your life and into their life? It says the wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. The key word there is law.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't say the wife was bound to her husband as long as he lived. It said the wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. The law scripturally gives reasons on why you can be divorced. The law society-wise gives reasons on why you can be divorced.
And as my mother used to say, when you in the land of the living, you got to live by the law of the land.
Come on now.
That is true.
We use scripture, we use stuff to validate what we want to, but we won't do it in context.
Exactly.
But I digress.
Oh, pass the toy.
Yeah.
It is 9:51.
Oh. Oh, bless God. We should have been did this part of it.
Would you like to do the call to salvation, even though, you know, this is more realistic than anything?
And you know what? I'm the call is just as realistic. Somebody out there listening, thank you, Lord. I'm going to be obedient. The first part of this call is going out to the backslider.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's somebody out there listening this evening that is in the situation that we're talking about. And you feel like because of your situation that God has forsaken you. You were new. All you got to do is just turn back around to me. Just come back to me. For you, your prayer this evening is a little bit different. You just say, Father God, forgive me for turning my back. I'm turning back around to you because you said that you are married to the backslider. I'm coming to you asking for forgiveness, asking for healing, asking for acceptance back into the bosom and into the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen. And for you out there listening who never knew Jesus in the pardoning of your sin, that means you've never turned around and said, you know what, if I be honest with myself, my whole situation about life is a mess. It looks like I'm happy, but the happiness you see is really a mask I put on so that you can think that I'm still who you think I am. Then tonight is your opportunity to come to Christ. I said a funeral today, and the man of God said it this way. He said it's as simple as ABC, accept, believe, and confess.
That's good.
And resurrection on the cross, confessing your sins to him. And your sins is whatever it is you've done that you know you should not have done. And then confessing your salvation to someone. If you would like to follow a prayer, you can repeat these words. You just say, Father God, I come to you this evening accepting the gift of your son Jesus into my life. I ask him to forgive me of all of my sins. I ask him to begin right now to make me anew. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you said that prayer, guess what? You saved. We welcome you to the kingdom of God. Now, we encourage you to find a Bible-believing, teaching, preaching sanctuary where you can grow in the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and heal from the trials and the tribulations of this world. But until you do, bless God, that is why he has Purpose Kingdom Network here just for you. Brother Rob is going to come on and tell you how you can continue to follow us and join us for tomorrow evening for another episode, and then we'll be right back with the ministry. Brother Rob.
Yes, yes. First of all, I just want to thank you, thank Dr. Jordan and Elder Cooper for talking about a subject such as this. And so, without further ado, I'll just go ahead and do the announcements. But before I say do the announcements, I want to say we don't talk about divorce. But seriously, let me just get back to the announcement. This is the Pride and Purpose Kingdom Network, and I'd like to thank each and every one of you for joining us for tonight's episode, no matter where you are in the world listening to us, whether you're listening to us via phone or you're listening to us online. We thank you, and we appreciate your listenership and your support for us here at Purpose Kingdom Network. Okay, we're anytime we do a live broadcast, we're broadcasting live on www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. And anytime we do a live broadcast, you can call in at the number of 319-527-6091. And you can just press the number 1 anytime you want to speak to any of our hosts. Okay, and also, if you want to hear any of our past shows, you can also go to the same website, www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. And you simply type in the host name or the show name, and you can hear that show in its entirety and at your convenience. Also, to let you know that we do have a radio station. It is pknradio.com, where we have 24 hours of musical content, and from time to time, we will broadcast one of our past shows. Also, we do have a radio co, and right now our radio co will be up and running. And once radio co is up and running, we'll make those announcements on Facebook. And you can also, we invite you to like us on Facebook at Purpose Kingdom at Facebook. All right? And you can contact us via email at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com, where you can send your comments, questions, concerns. You can simply say hello or send a prayer request. We gladly honor that. And we look forward to hearing from you. And with that being said, our next broadcast is going to be at the 9 p.m. hour tomorrow evening, and it will be a rebroadcast of Minister Bernard Merrill and By Faith We Good. And once again, tomorrow evening, we'll have a rebroadcast of Minister Bernard Merrill's show, By Faith We're Good, and that's going to be at the 9 p.m. hour. And with that being said, that's going to be the end of the announcements, and I'm going to turn the show back over to Elder Cooper. And Elder Cooper, the show's back in your hands.
Thank you, Brother Rob. Thank you so much, Pastor Toy and Dr. Jordan. I appreciate y'all. We got so caught up, we lost track of time. But I think we're going to revisit, like, as well as the topic we talked about the last time. I think what I'm gonna do is try to get like a round table type of thing where we have a few more guests where we can bounce some things off and to help our listeners as well with some of these issues that we face in real life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And go from there. I mean, it's nice to get a sermon, but sometimes it's nice to hear some real life stuff to help us get through real life stuff. As Dr. Christmas would say, we can put some Bible on it, but some things we need to hear, you know, we need to hear differently other than the scripture.
Amen.
I don't know if y'all agree or disagree, but all right, so it is 9:59 and I have to say goodbye to you guys. I don't even want to say goodbye. I really enjoyed the show. It was enlightening, you know, and definitely a topic. If y'all want to come back on, definitely a topic we can revisit.
All right.
Is that a yes from both of you?
Yes.
All
yeah.
right. This is the Healing Hour. I am your host, Elder Elisha Cooper. Again, I thank you, Pastor Toy and Dr. Jordan, for joining us tonight. Until next time, blessings and favors be upon you. Peace.
Jesus led.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
Never wanna see me down, I will not lose.
Save me.